February 2021, Woof Poem. Hey folks, just waiting for the beeps to kind of die down. We'll go ahead and get started. This is Chris Walker with The Core. This is the February Woof Poem. Nathan, you want to go ahead and do roll?
Roll, what I'm going to do, guys, is I see your name on the screen. I'm just going to record that. So I'm just going to go through and ask each of the phone numbers who you are so I can write down your name and your association, some of which I will know and some of which I will not know. So the first number I see is 5037 Route 31.
Carrie Gibbons, Michigan.
Hi, Carrie.
Good morning.
The next number is 5037. Wait, there they all moved on me. Oh, oh boy. Sorry, next number is 541813. What is it? 541813. Are you there? Going on to the next one. 503741. Did you announce yourself, please?
Sorry, this is Lance Krizik. I'm on 503-758-3141. I don't know if that's me or not.
Looks like you're 503-741, Lance.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you please announce yourself? How about 541366?
And Nathan, I'm not sure if folks understand that they can't, you can't see their middle four digits. So you're announcing the first four and the last two.
Oh, that's true. I guess if they would have called it, they wouldn't understand that. Thanks, Darren. So yeah, folks, what I'm trying to do is just to shorten up the time it takes to do roll call. If you called in only, I'm logged in through my computer and I can see folks' names if they're logged into the WebEx meeting. But if you've only called in, it's just going to be the first four digits and the last two digits of your phone number. So that's what I've been reading off rather than trying to go through everybody. So I'm going to continue to do that.
Okay, yeah. So I guess the last one you said, Sal Sanium Hatchery, ODF&W, Brett Boyd.
Okay, I see you. Thank you, Brett.
Yeah.
Thanks for saving me, Darren. I'm going to go back to the first couple that didn't catch. 5418 ending in 13. You called in from that number. Could you announce yourself, please?
That'd be Kirk Kramer's Mackenzie Fish Hatchery and Colby Gonzalez.
Kurt and Colby. And then the phone number 5038 ending in 95.
Lawrence Schwabe with Green Hunter.
Grand Ron Tribe, could you give me your first name, please?
Lauren.
Hi, Lauren. Thank you for that.
Are we good?
Yeah, we've got about four more to do. Just making sure I'm not calling them twice. 5037, ending in 41.
5037, ending in 41.
5037, ending in 41. 5037,
ending in 41. Hey, Chris, you might want to, I don't know. I have to mute everybody so this works. 5038, ending in 45.
Take a Marion Fork.
Who's speaking, please?
Greg at Marion Fork, Minto.
Thanks, Greg.
Hi, this is Norm Bucola from Water Quality.
Norm Bucola from Water Quality. Thank you, Norm. 5413, ending in 66. You just let us know who you are. Ending in 57.
Hey, this is Todd Pierce from the Army Corps.
Thank you, Todd Pierce. And finally, 5418, ending in 13.
I think you already got it, because that was Mackenzie.
Oh, yeah, I did. It's as people are calling in, it's moving the numbers around on me.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Walker. I think that'll do it.
All right, any agenda updates for this month? Okay, in regards to the January Wolf Palm Minutes, I did receive comments from ODFW. Did not receive any other comments. Are they okay to approve? Moving on to action items. This was yours, Lance, in regards to updating the trout HGMP. Any update on that?
Yeah, the update on that is I incorporated the new table into the HGMP, and I just sent it back to you, Chris, and ODFW to make sure I'm understanding what the modifications were. So sorry I missed that, but you have it in your inbox. If you and Elise could take a look at it, and then we'll get it all through.
Sounds good. I'll take a look and get back to you.
Update of that table in response to your email, Lance. So, Chris, that's the table that you should look at.
Okay, I'll take a look. Moving on to updates on the North Sinium. Greg, want to go?
All right, up at Marion Forks, we're finally getting some much-needed snow. They survived the storm very well. They didn't lose power, internet, or anything. They were living the high life. Hopefully to start ponding next week. None of our springers have been ponded yet. We're experiencing water, and hopefully that'll be ready next week. Down at Minto, still only 3 winter steelhead trap. We haven't seen any others yet. We were impacted by the ice storm pretty hard. We went 4.5 days without power and phone. Once again, that kind of leaves us very vulnerable, as our alarm system is based off that landline phone. So both Tyler and I spent many hours coming in and checking up, you know, every couple hours, because we don't have an alarm system that helps us. But the generator ran perfectly, and everything was fine at the end of the day. Other than that, we're good.
Any questions or comments for Greg?
Hey, Greg, it's Bob. Getting ready for these releases from Minto. What's the river looking like? Over.
Perfect for releases, not great for flushes. But, yeah, we're still underneath the curve, and flows are low. There was a bump. I think yesterday, I think they were doing some sort of work up at the dam. It would have been very nice to get that before, because the TGG levels went up to 115. But anyways, yeah, for releases are good. We're gonna sample again tomorrow, and this first group I'm hoping are gonna go out the first part of March, and we will give you advance notice.
Hey, thank you very much, Greg. Appreciate it. Over.
Any other questions for Greg? Moving on to the sell scene, and Brett.
Yeah, on the hatchery, we released our spring release component, I guess, of our spring Chinook first of the month. They went out really well. And then we've also ponded our summer steelhead fry. And so we're just kind of cleaning up now, cleaning up hatch house, cleaning up raceways outside, pressure washing. We worked with the core, the Foster maintenance staff, in an effort to clean up the post-sort pools at Foster. So that went really well. We hadn't cleaned those pressure, or I guess we ended up fire hosing most of the ponds, but we hadn't done that since we started the facility in 14. So they were due, and they look really good, so we got that done. And then we watered the ladder back up on the 16th, and we haven't trapped any adults yet. And that's about it.
Any questions or comments for Brett? All right, moving on to the McKenzie. Kurt.
Okay, so here for February, we get our fry ponded. We're a little warmer than Minto, or Marion Fork, I should say. So our fish have been ponded, and we did that a couple weeks ago, 250,000, and they're feeding well. Our other eggs are at Marion Forks, 300,000, and another 300,000 over at Willamette. So those are, Willamette has ponded ours over there also. So we'll get them all back over here probably in May, I guess. So our water supply, Cogdill Creek has been good this month, up and down a little bit with the rain and stuff. We had to take it off the line a couple times, and we can operate off the canal. When we take all of Cogdill Creek, as we've been running it through the hatchery to keep testing it, Colby Gonzalez here is taking over at McKenzie, and we're just trying to show him the water supply, how it would act if we were actually acclimating fish. That we brought back from Lever. So that's interesting, where we take all of Cogswell Creek in, and then you look at the canal and you go, wow, there's just not much in the canal bypassing us. So obviously we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the agenda with EWEB and the operations they're doing. So, but Cogswell Creek would certainly working well this winter, and we'd be able to acclimate fish with no trouble. Equipment maintenance, fence building, kitchen remodel going on here in one of the houses. And Kobe Gonzalez here, the guy will be on the phone calls. I'm retiring as of Friday, 2 days. So anyway, we did do, pulled Colby up into the upper McKenzie, showed him the cougar area, viewing the trap up there from the dam. Went up to some release sites up there on the South Fork, so he's familiar with all that. And just some other familiarization of the watershed itself we did last Friday. So that's all I got.
Congratulations on the retirement. When did you want to talk about the EWEB stuff? Were you thinking towards the end?
Whatever, I think it was on the agenda there towards the end, if I'm not mistaken, Chris.
Yeah, there's a McKenzie Water Supply PDT agenda, and we can talk about it there.
Okay, we can do that. That'd be fine.
Okay. Any questions or comments for Kurt?
Hey, Curtis, Bob. With the sprayers showing up here, starting to show up in Lower River, With the sorter, is there any update? Just want to make sure we're in line to get the sorter in place and kind of dial it in this year. Over.
Yeah, actually, we were it's stored here at McKenzie, and we'll continue to be that way, I'm sure. We were doing some work on it over the week. I didn't mention that. Mike was looking at some areas, that some stress wells that got popped, that we're gonna be bolting some things back together again. But that all being said, I know Jeff Ziller has some ideas about how it's going to be placed this year in relationship to the opening of the fish ladder going into the lake, and just trying to continue to learn, troubleshoot, however you want to put it, to what we learned last year when it was in place. But, you know, the fire disrupted things so much last year, we didn't have it online for more than 6 weeks or so there. So, but I believe we learned enough in that 6 weeks about placement of the steep pass, and in relationship to how we're going to be able to have those fish enter it and come up to be sorted successfully. So some more things to be learned, but I believe that we're ahead of the curve this time than we were last year when it was brand new.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. So,
Bob, go ahead. Sorry, Bob, this is Ryan Kutcher with ODFW. I was just going to mention, I'll defer to Jeff, and obviously Kurt gave an update. If Jeff has any more operational or timeline updates, he can jump in. But the one thing we'll need to talk about, and it doesn't have to be in this format, but we'll need to talk about funding for operation for 21. I don't believe that's been flushed out.
Yeah, I can mention that briefly, and we can talk later. So there is some funding on the current contract, but we talked about potential issues with the contract, and I think it's something that will need to be worked out with our contract offices, so hopefully we can get that going, and we can talk offline. Maybe I'll shoot you an email after this call.
Sounds good. Thank you.
That'd be good, Chris. This is Jeff. Yeah, a couple things about the sorters, kind of fill in what Kurt did there, which was a pretty good summary. We're going to put out our recruitment notice here for our seasonal crew shortly. We hopefully have one returning person from last year, which would be great. And the idea is to have our personnel on hand in mid-May, do all the final upgrades to the sorting device, get it in place, and have it operational on June 1. The idea is to let the bulk of the wild population, which is a high percentage of the fish passing in May, go through, and then we will start operation. Ryan and you and me need to kind of get our heads together on how we want to get the final pieces of this contract for getting that thing run all the way through October in place.
So I'll send you guys a message, and then also maybe move forward, just setting up a meeting and probably including our contracting folks after that soon.
Sounds good.
Yes, Bob, thank all of you for tying this together, because this is kind of a multi-headed hydra. The complimentary piece that we're doing is the fish counting. I just want to make sure everything's dialed in. Appreciate the coordination. Make sure we're set to the year. Over.
Any other questions or comments? I didn't hear Dan on. Ryan, are you reporting?
Yeah, I can give an update for Willamette. Pretty short and sweet. Kurt mentioned that the McKenzie Spring Chinook are at Willamette. They are ponded and doing well. The Willamette Stock Spring Chinook have also been ponded, and they are also doing well. Should be ponding summer steelhead here before too long. Otherwise, operationally at Willamette and Dexter, no issues and nothing really to report. We will have Smoltz leaving Dexter here soon, and then just around the corner in a few months, set up for trapping kind of mid-May. Other than that, no updates for the middle fork.
So I missed Cougar. We'll go back to that. Any questions for Ryan in regards to middle fork? Yeah, sorry.
And Mullen, I had a question, Ryan, about sizes of fish that they're being ponded now and they'll be released in the next few months. I was curious about both the Chinook and the summer steelhead, what you think the range is, if you know that in, say, inches or millimeters, not in fish per pound.
Oh, come on, Ann. We live in fish per pound. Let's follow up offline if that's okay, and I'll follow up with Dan and get real time info for you.
If that's helpful. Yeah, no worries.
Thanks.
Okay, let's finish off middle fork before we go back. Fall Creek update.
Hey, this is Doug Garlick. I just wanted to say that we're finishing up winter maintenance. Plan to open up Fall Creek on the 8th. Of March. If Todd Pierce is on, he may have some things to add. That's all I have, if there's any questions.
This is Todd. The powerhouse crew is still just working through some bugs that are remnants of construction and just working through issues, trying to get things functioning properly. It's kind of the same issue we faced at all these facilities after they've been built, where just things get overlooked. So doing our best to utilize the funds appropriately and get things running properly. That's it.
Could you talk about Minto's funding, and is that coming back, or we're not getting it?
At the end of next week, I have a little note on my calendar that says we should know more information on the funding, Greg. But as of right now, I don't have any information for you. So therefore, that's why we're pretty much not doing anything at Minto, other than that PDG meter was installed, in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and we'll probably need a maintenance on the generator. It ran for almost 5 days, so.
Got it.
Any other questions? I guess for Middle Fork and then for Todd. Moving back to the Cougar Fish facility. Is Chad on?
Hey guys, this is Doug Garlick, and I'm covering for Chad. He's working on some bull trout stuff. Planning on opening the Cougar Fish facility on the 10th of March. Winter maintenance. I want to elaborate. Thank you. If there's any questions.
This is Todd again. Similar to Fall Creek. Kind of wrapping things up there, making sure things are working properly. We got a new DMP for one of the FWS pumps, and also we're working on getting a new VFD for one of the AWS pumps. Outside of that, Chris, I think I sent you a message about a week ago about a short outage at the Cougar facility, and I believe it was the end of March. Did you get that?
I did, and it was something that I need to work on.
Okay, thanks. That's all.
So just so folks are aware, there have been major WebEx issues this week, so all those beeps you hear could be people coming in and out. Yep, Dustin just messaged it and said he got dropped. So yeah, people are having issues. I apologize for that. We'll do our best. So moving on to bull trout and Oregon chub. Greg, did you have anything to talk about on that?
I don't think Greg won, is he? This is Doug.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if he was on or not.
I don't have any updates. I know that they're Chad and he are working on the bull trout right now, but have to get back to you on that, on status of that and chub. But yeah, thanks.
I am on, Chris. Is there anything what did you want an update on?
Anything that you feel to notify the group of. If not, we can move on.
I think everybody did a good job. I mean, we're just waiting on the fish facilities. We're working the contracts. Overall, we've got some budget issues, and folks are aware that I'm trying to do our best on those. We just don't have clarity on them yet. So that's frustrating for people, but there's nothing we can do about it until we get some finality around those issues.
Thanks, Greg. So, moving on to research updates. Rachel's not on, but she mentioned there wasn't a whole lot to update on. I believe they're doing FY22 planning for RM&E, and that's all I have on that. Are there any water quality updates?
Hey, Chris, this is Ann again. Can I just say on the research updates, too, there is some of the interim measure screw trapping permitting getting completed, which will involve getting some fish from the hatcheries for efficiency tests, and then those will be in place perhaps below Cougar in another week or so and get some counts as operations are modified over the next several months.
Gotcha. Thanks for that update, Ann. Water quality, anything?
Yeah, this is Norm. Not much to report from the Corps. We did go up to maintain we have a monitor on the North Santiam near Boulder above Detroit, and we maintained that monitor the other day. The river was really clear, so we didn't end up taking any samples for metals and nutrient analysis. We're trying to focus on when we see sediment being flushed through the system and into Detroit to capture to try to understand how that's going to affect reservoir sedimentation and future algal blooms this summer and future summers. So that's about it. There was a TDG spike downstream of Detroit on the 23rd. I assume it was because of an outage, it looks like. Other than that, I don't see any issues right now.
There was a four-hour hydro survey during that time where you saw the spike.
Oh, thank you. Great, Karen.
Hey, Mary Karen, wouldn't that be written on the schedule that you send out through email that there's a hydro survey?
Well, usually, I don't know, I'm going to let Chris respond to this, so go for it, Chris.
So a lot of times these short outages are not on the schedules that are sent out. We typically try to schedule these outages during the outage window so that we can minimize impacts in coordination, even though we still do observe impacts. And that's all I know. A lot of times we get these emails last minute, midday, and a lot of times I'm getting them as we're bringing the unit online, especially for the short outages. So that's all I know on that. Any other questions or comments on that? All right. Any flow update?
That's with Mary Karen. What was that? I just heard my name.
somebody.
He's at the first floor. So can you give the flow update?
Flow update. Well, sure. So let's see. Overall in the Willamette, to pull up some data. So overall, as a system, we're about 30% full. The project started filling on February 1st. A few of the projects are at or slightly above roll curve. Those are mainly the non-power projects. And then the power projects are all below roll curve. So overall, with the aboves and the belows, we're 6.5% below roll curve. And the ones that are below are on minimum flow. And then the ones that were above, we actually put out a significant amount of water this last week or so to try to get them back down the roll curve. And so as we see drier weather in the forecast and we're drifting, you know, close to roll curve, we're ramping those flows down. So we're kind of in a ramp down mode. And I'm forecasting that by the end of the 10-day period that, you know, pretty much all the projects are going to be at or close to minimum flow. So overall, the basin, yesterday for the 24-hour, you know, period update, you know, day average for yesterday, we saw inflows of about 28,000 CFS into the basin, and we released 13,000 CFS from all the projects. So, and I guess I can say Albany was flowing at 25,000 yesterday. Salem was flowing at nearly 48,000 CFS yesterday, and the Salem 7-day flow was 51,000 CFS. Any questions? Alright, over. Thanks.
Alright, moving on to the pinniped update.
This is Kelly, ODFW, and the last update I received is from February 9th, so it's a little bit dated, but we've been seeing one California sea lion in the area of Willamette Falls that wasn't branded, seeing him periodically. A couple of Stellas have been using the traps more frequently since the evening of February 5th. And again, as of the 9th, the marine mammal program was hoping to start trapping within the next week. So overall, as of February 9th, Willamette River pinniped abundance for this year, Stellar sea lions has been 5, and California sea lions has been 1. And that's what I have. Any questions? Sounds like it's Bob's turn.
Hey, thank you, Kelly. So here at Bonneville, we've still got a handful of stars around as well. I think we covered 3 yesterday for a point count. The point count hasn't been taken yet today. Stewart numbers at Bonneville this year are really bad. It kind of makes sense, the number of animals down at Willamette Falls. We've only had 329 winners, or fish from the start of the year, steelhead, come over, which is pretty dire. As you laid out, Brian Wright and his crew are getting ready to initiate trapping here coming in March. I believe they're targeting any Californians that are around, as well as the smaller star sea lions, while they work out the logistics to get some of the larger animals. As we know, these animals get to be up to a ton, so logistically, the removal is quite challenging. Over.
Any questions or comments for the pinniped update?
Yeah, this is Ann. Bob, it sounds like what you're saying is if there's low numbers at Willamette Falls, you'd expect high numbers at Bonneville. Did I hear that right?
Well, I'm just kind of making a general predator-prey, right? Where there's a food source, your predators are going to swamp and kind of target them. Typically, we see when we have large numbers pure passing at Bonneville, we have a lot of predators, right? And so I was just kind of making a generalization. Over.
Anything else on that? All right, anyone from BPA that could give an update? Okay, moving on to the HGMP biop terms and conditions. So what has not been grayed out are the various counting efforts that are in the biop. This is on here primarily because we talked about getting a memorandum together to talk about responsibility or roles and responsibilities in regards to fish counts. Still kind of in limbo, at least for Lebanon. ODFW is continuing Bennett. We can talk about Lebanon now, Bob, or do you want to wait till we get to the memorandum?
I can give a brief update to the group. So right now we have a request into ARDM for some one-dimensional modeling of the Lebanon ladder itself. That's being worked. We have some funding issues. Greg alluded to this earlier. So it's in the process right now, but we don't have results yet. What we're planning for this year, as we recall, last year we put in underwater cameras. We had good success in terms of monitoring the orifices that we're in. Of course, there's basically a 5x5 notch in the weir with an orifice in each corner. So we had four cameras in place. The notch was difficult to monitor, and that's why we wanted to go in with the Vaki system. For this year, what we're looking at is trying to improve upon what we did and learned and really get to where we can collect video from the orifices and compress that video so we can get an efficient system set up if we do, or for when we do get the Vaki in place in 23. Darren, do you have any additional update you want to provide on potentially enhancing our orifice monitoring this year? Over.
No, not really, Bob. I'm just looking into some options for how to clean up video, but nothing to report on that yet.
Yeah, I was just trying to put you on the spot. Sorry about that. Any additional input or questions on Lebanon? Over.
Yeah, Bob, thank you for that. This is Kelly. Did I hear you, or did I understand correctly that the thoughts are now that the Vaki will be in place in 2023, not 22?
Looking at the schedule they provided, when I say they, ARDM and our small projects team, yeah, there were, even if we had the funding right now, we couldn't get the Vaki designed and installed by 1 May. So what we're trying to do is make lemonade, get as much information as we can to set up for 23. Based on the discussion of the MOA and other stuff,
hey,
go ahead.
Bob, it's 21 now, so we're anticipating having it in next year in 22, correct? Not skipping another whole year?
Thank you, Tammy. Yeah, I jumped numbers. Yeah, my apologies.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so in place and monitoring in 22 then?
Sounds like the person with the finances confirmed that. Over.
Okay, thanks for the clarification. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sorry for the confusion on my part. Over.
Anything else on that? Moving on to the next item. I have this item still on here. I'm not sure if you want to keep it on. It's the pedigree work. I know that that work is moving forward. I don't know if this is something that we want to gray out for future meetings, but also on that topic, if there's anything else that's grayed out that we need to talk about next month, let me know. And the next item, which is...
Chris?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, on that, this is Lance Krizik with National Marine Fisheries. Yeah, at some point it'd be nice to get an update to see where in particular the samples or the analysis for the North Sandy Am. I haven't heard any updates there, so maybe provide the group whatever information at some point. That'd be great.
Okay, yeah, I'll talk to the POC on that, and hopefully they can give an update next month or maybe an email before then.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Also, this is Ann. I just wanted to clarify, I'm pretty sure they included the 2020 samples, but not 100%. No, I'm pretty sure they did because the contract wasn't out, so they were able to add that.
Yeah, that's my understanding, Ann.
So you can just change it in the agenda.
This is Ryan. Just one other quick follow-up. All of those samples for 2019 and 2020 have been handed off to Kathleen O'Malley. Over.
Thank you for that. Next item in the biop, assessing spawning above federal dams. Tammy, I don't know if we have an update on that or not. I know there were funding issues and then also potential future funding discussions on that.
I do not have an update right now. There will be more internal discussion next month, and then hopefully I'll have an update for the region after that.
All right, any other thoughts, questions, comments on the terms and conditions?
Hey, Chris, this is Ryan. One that's grayed out, but maybe just a question, if you have an update, is on the Willamette Hatchery brood stock holding pond. Any update there, or should we talk about that at our next meeting?
I don't really have an update. Tammy, anything to add, or should we just talk about it next month?
We did not receive funding for the broodstock holding pond, though we do continue to request it in the budget every year. We can talk about how to try and improve the chances of it getting funded, but given our current budget conditions, it'll take probably quite a bit of work on our part and some patience as it continues to move through the process. I'm happy to talk about it next month, though, too.
All right, anything else on that? Moving on to Willamette Valley production contracts. I'm currently working on all the contract documents to award the new contract this fall or late summer, early fall, August 31st to be exact. At this point, it's looking like it'll be a longer-term contract, which will be good from a workload perspective and for all of us, I think. But that's all I have on the new Willamette Hatcheries production contract. Any questions? I'm also beginning to work on the new trout production contract, since the last one that was awarded to ODFW was a shorter term contract. Again, hopefully from my perspective we can get this longer term. Again, this one will need to be awarded this fall as well. Any questions on that?
Chris, this is Ryan. No questions, but if that contract's awarded, you know, this fall, whether ODFW is the recipient or not, we certainly appreciate that expedited timeline. For some of those bigger fish, you know, they're either in the hopper now or will be soon. So kind of planning ahead out to 23 is great. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. And I don't know if we need to think about other timelines as well, whether or not that's adequate or not. I know it had been kind of tight, even from our current contractor's perspective, even though they might not want to admit that. But if we need to talk more about that, let me know. And Bob know. All right. Moving down to coordination forums. We talked about Fish County and at Lebanon, so we'll move on. The only new one I have this month is for Fern Ridge, where we decreased outflows to 30 CFS. This was requested by ODFW. We struggled filling the reservoir last year. We're hoping to get a jump on it this year. We've done this in the past, but not quite this early. But it's thought that there's a benefit to wildlife and other things in that specific reservoir, and all seem to be supportive of this. Any questions on that? All right, moving on to the fish operations plan. A couple months ago, I put out a request for change forms. Did not receive any change forms. Did receive some comments within a document, which we'll need to somehow get into change forms. But again, we'll see. I don't think there are too many changes unless there some late change forms come in as to if we resolve these through our monthly meetings or if we need to have a special meeting. It just depends on how much work we think it is. Any questions on the fish operations plan?
Chris, this is Ann. I'm sorry, I'm kind of behind, but it does tie back to this. Is the IRM temporary pool restriction someone that would go into that after the comments are in on that? Or I was actually trying to search for it to see if I had an email on it, which I have not found.
Yeah, I don't have an answer at this time. I don't have a good feel for the timing, whether it's shorter term or longer term. This was something that I plan on sending a memorandum out on that I did not get out. So the plan is to talk about this next month.
Okay, so if I'm not finding an email on the IRRM, it's because we haven't received it yet?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
All right, moving on to task groups / PDT updates. We have a new PDT, which is the Willamette Valley Operational Fish Passage Measures PDT. The project manager is Chris Bedai, and the tech lead is Catherine Tackley. They plan on providing monthly updates on this PDT, and I don't know, I believe Chris Bedai is on, I'm not sure if Catherine Tackley is on. I don't know if you had anything to add or if you had an update this month or just wanted to wait till next month.
Hey Chris, this is Catherine, I'm on. I was one of the people having phone difficulties, so I've been on and off a few times. But good morning, everyone. Just a quick update on this newly established PDT. We're on target to start the spill operation on March 1 at Foster, so that's a Foster nighttime spill for downstream fish passage. For those familiar with the measures, it's measure number 9. And team is working really hard. We've met on multiple occasions and working through vetting other measures and hope to have additional updates for you when we meet next time. And that's it for me.
And I guess I'll mention FENCON planning on putting together a memorandum for folks in this forum for review.
Yeah, there's an SOR being routed for Foster right now.
All right, any questions or comments on that one?
Yeah, Catherine, this is Ann, and I have spoken to Fenton about this. I think we are going to talk more this week regarding Cougar. So it's measures 16 and 17, and they're perhaps mutually exclusive, and decisions would be made about which one might be run this year. So if we take that offline and have a conversation, maybe again with Fenton, that'd be great.
Yeah, definitely. We're prepping for that discussion. And look forward to meeting with you guys and kind of working through those details.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Ann.
Anything else on that? All right, the next two PDTs are relating it, they're both related to hatcheries. First, the Safety and Environmental Corrections PDT, and the Hatchery Non-Routine Maintenance and Repairs PDT. Those are both, they both have the same project manager, which is Dave Tucker. The only update, which I believe I provided last month, is that they did put together cost estimates for the list of the various safety and environmental corrections. Other than that, I believe they're seeking funding on those. No other update other than that. Any questions on those? All right, last, which is the McKinsey Water Supply PDT. I believe they're still seeking funding. Some news for this item is that there will be a new PM assigned. The current PM, Spencer, took, I don't know if it was a permanent position, but he's definitely doing or taking on another role. So there will be a new project manager for this specific PDT. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Yeah, Chris, this is Ann. Which water supply is that? Is it at the ladder or?
That's the water supply that comes out of Liebert Canal, feeding the hatchery. One of the water supplies that they have there, but one they rely on heavily, that provides water for the hatchery and the ladder. So we have been utilizing Liebert and then the Liebert sorter to kind of make sure that we're getting done what we need to get done.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I lost track of that.
Chris, this is Ryan, and Kurt Colby and Jeff might have thoughts or comments too, but in seeing recently a little bit more from eWeb in terms of what they're planning on doing, or maybe more importantly not doing, I think at a minimum we know that the can is kicked significantly down the road, likely 5 years before anything would change for the water supply. And so, and I don't know, I mean, obviously money drives the ship, but it's highly unlikely that in the next 5 years the canal will be operational. So I think it certainly makes the need for that PDT and the work, it makes it more important, or certainly signals its importance. In talking with Webb and their fish pilot folks, I think it also, they're also already thinking about Liebert Dam and longer term dam relicensing, and we're 20 years out or whatever. But I almost wonder if the PDT can regroup, or even maybe a subsection of this group, kind of talk about longer term plans, maybe even in the context of what happens if Liebert Dam comes out 20 years from now, and what does our water supply look like then? And it almost seems like we need to regroup and kind of hit the reset on that one, and maybe think a little bit broader in terms of the opportunities and options.
Yeah, Ryan, I agree. Definitely need to do some contingency planning, I think. I'm not sure. Maybe I'll set some... Oh, no, I will set something up. I'm not sure of the timing of it, but that can be an action of mine.
This is Melissa from Pace. I'd be really interested in this conversation, too. The Liebert project, Liebert Walterville, is my first project that is assigned to me, and so I can be both helpful, and then also it would really help me if I could be involved in your discussion.
Yeah, I will add you and make sure you're on the list.
Thank you.
Yeah, that'd be great, Melissa. This is Jeff. There are probably some alternatives out there that weren't considered before, mainly because it was quick timeline that we were talking about getting water back in there. Now that it is looking like it could be an extended period of time, I agree, this is getting critical now, and come up with a little bit.
So this is Kurt. So since I'm on the spot here all the time and know the canal pretty well, I'm not sure if everybody has, or at least the people in the PDTs even have, this document from eWeb recently. I know Bob has it, and ODFW has it, so I'm not sure who else has their hands on it. But, they have different scenarios here, potential paths forward, return to service options are incrementally, rapid returns, major rehabilitation to get the full 2,500 CFS, or not the 1,300 CFS. They've got all these scenarios, and they also have some areas talking about mothballing it and using it as stormwater conveyance. The guys I've talked to, the guys on the ground here that I see on the canal quite often, talked to a couple of them just yesterday as Colby and I were reviewing some of these reference points they mentioned in this document, that, they're feeling like it's not coming back, and at least to full, they would like to see it. These are guys that work with the water and the system. But it just seems like that seems to be the nature of what people are thinking out here. That being said, if they do the stormwater conveyance, one of the options here, or scenarios, is a mothball option. So they have various things on here. They talk about, you know, the sealing of the head gates of the intake at the dam. That's already done. There's no water coming in from there. So everything is side flow from the creeks. And within that mothball option, they also talk about breaching the embankment at one of the reference points, which is 50. They have all these markers on the canal about every 500 feet. And this is the drain. The surface flows into a natural drainage. There's already a subsurface pipe there of some sort, so we went to review that today. Then they talk about canal plugs on the embankment. And the way I look at this is that they're trying to split the canal into different, just different pools that they can control in every way they want to control these. So then they have the wastegate, which is just downstream of this other canal plug area. And that would help keep the control of the water level at a certain place. Water coming in from Cogswell Creek, Ward Creek, Montgomery Creek. And then they got another reference point of another canal plug directly downstream of Cogswell Creek. I'm talking within 100 feet. What these canal plugs are, I don't know. They don't describe them here, really. So if we had some kind of elevation idea what these canal plugs would be, we could get more of a better idea of what could we pull into the intake if indeed the Corps with a preliminary design team, you know, puts a pipeline down the canal or whatever that is, or a pipeline from the river or whatever this is, to give us an idea of what we can pull into the fish hatchery. And it's pretty important to collect adults here. You don't even let them get to Liebert, you know. We got the sorter there, but, you know, we got two fish ladders also there. So, anyway, pretty important to get these fish into the hatchery. 30 to 35 CFS will do it. I know we have a 50 CFS water right, but 2003 we pulled in 6,200 fish with that 30 and 35 CFS. So knowing that that can happen and we'll pull these fish out of the river. So I don't know, you know, what these canal plugs look like, what they're really going to do, what elevation they would create these pools at. What could we pull into the intake? You know, it's all an unknown, but be really, in my mind, a crime to see this hatchery not watered up. Built properly, you know, pollution abatement is, we meet the criteria with DEQ. Yeah, it is some freaking water.
Yeah, this is Melissa Gent. Yeah, I appreciate this conversation, and actually this conversation has been going on for many, many years. You know, I think one of the things we could find very beneficial is just to have Andrew from UWEB go through the report with everyone. The fact of the matter is the dam's a liability, and the canal that you're talking about has been really deemed unsafe to convey flow. And that's why there's no water. So I totally get it. I think it's really important to get the hatchery the flow that they need. But I also see the other side of it, pretty aware of it. You know, and then the long-term liability of having a structure like that in the river is a burden as well. And so I think it's a part of a larger discussion, and I would really like to see you folks have a water supply that's independent and doesn't have this risk of, you know, an unsafe conveyance structure. So,
yeah.
I think that's more a long-term sustainability approach. I think it's been in the, you know, it's been coming down the pike for a long time, even during the relicensing at, you know, after the 15, you know, that 15 years of litigation we went through with UWEB. This project's got a long history. And, you know, I think it's a longer-term discussion. I think we all need to go toward it with our eyes wide open about these dams, and they have finite lifespans, and that's sometimes unfortunate. Sometimes it's, you know, know it's something everyone's looking for, but we just need to kind of put everything out on the table and see what the best alternative is. And, you know, the project, from what I understand, the project was already in the red before this happened. And then when this happened and it had such a significant price tag with repair, it just really...
Oh, they're huge. It was huge, yeah.
Pretty clear, yeah. So,
Design team. Together and, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, let's you know, plan for a good discussion on this in the future.
Yeah. Well, I know when the design team was meeting in the last summer, they were talking about pumping even down here by the river near our fish ladder. There is some space there. That's a possibility also to get completely away from the canal and still collect these adults down here to help with PIAS. So, anyway, just my thoughts.
Thanks for that, Kurt, and thanks, Melissa. Any other thoughts on this item?
Yeah, Chris, this is Lance again. And one thing I wanted to just give a heads up to the agencies about, I'd like to schedule some time in a month or two to kind of review what has happened on the ground in the McKenzie from not having, you know, water going through the hatchery and what that meant hatchery management-wise and, you know, PHAS, and then kind of talk about what the future is given this whole discussion and, you know, how we can rectify some of those issues that are in the ESA consultation. You know, the whole game plan for PHAS management has been thrown out the door because of these latest water issues. So we need to have a frank discussion about that. And so just wanted to get people thinking about that. You know, reach out to everybody and schedule some time in the next month or two about that.
Sounds good, Lance. Any other comments on this issue? Anything else from the group? Any other topics? Anything I missed? All right, we'll chat next month. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for using WebEx. Visit our website at www.webex.com.